Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey.
Hi, this is Michael.
This is David.
This is Keith.
And this is Jeffers.
Today's Sunday. We got together for a podcast today. We're pretty much all shooting from the hip right here. I think there's a lot of things that'll be said here. But the Holy Spirit's going to be the one that leads us. Y'all hold on.
Yeah, true. One thing, we started this, we're all cousins and brothers, and we all have, we're all on different journeys. That's one thing that we've talked about over and over on our podcast is this is a journey, and we're all on it, and we're all on different paths. And tonight's going to be interesting, I think. You'll probably sit back and say, that's three different journeys, but they're all heading in the right direction, I hope.
Yeah. This week's been interesting. We've met somebody in our community that's moved here from out of our country, but they moved here by way of New York, and they're right here across the road from the church. And when I stopped to talk to them, they said, we want to grow a garden. We want to learn how to put up food. And just a couple of weeks ago, David came to us and said, hey, we're going to do this summer. So I was able to tell them, hey, we're going to do it, and y'all are invited. We'll teach you what we know. A lot of stuff we do is because of what we've been taught. We weren't taught it in a clinical classroom environment. We were taught right here on the farm how to hull peas, how to green corn, stew tomatoes. And those were the things that we did for fun. Why? Because we were around our cousins. We were around our grandma, our aunts. We'd all get together to do it.
It was for necessity, too. I mean, we lived off those vegetables that were put up. We would put up a lot of vegetables, and grandma would cook a lot of them when we were working in the fields during the summer. Which
now we see the necessity behind what was being done, but then I don't think we didn't grasp it.
I grasped it. I like to eat it.
Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing how our heritage is coming full circle now for us. We used to hear our parents talk about stuff and we didn't quite understand, and now we're seeing what we heard our parents talk about, what they saw, how they saw grandma and grandpa. Well, now we're looking at our parents that way. And so, you know, this morning, a scripture that came up, it was our service revolved around, it was 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to read it, but basically what it tells us to do is forget about so much of the noise that's going on around us and just think in terms of love. And it's not just for the ones you're close to, it's for your neighbor. It's for your co-worker. And if we can carry that out, that's how we're going to show the world God's love for them. It's through us. He's going to use us to do it. So, you know, tonight, as we sit here and discuss stuff, why does it make such an impact on us? Because we were taught it. We saw it in action. And now we've got to be the action that shows it to other people.
You want to tell them the story about the verse, Jeffers?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I can touch on that. This morning, me and you got here early. We're going to have breakfast, and breakfast is already prepared. We weren't going to prepare it at the church, so I took some time to reflect and go back and read my Bible a little bit. And the scripture that I opened up to was the 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I got reading on it a little bit, you know, while I had a little time and everybody started coming in, and I just kind of marked my place, and we had breakfast and come in for service and had our morning worship, and Keith come up to deliver the message, and first words out of his mouth were, we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of made the hair stand up on my arms and back of my neck.
I think I saw it stand up on your head.
Well, a little bit, yeah.
And he turned to me on the pew and said, that's what I just read yet.
Yeah. So I think we were on the same page this morning and didn't even know it.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, our garden. Right now we've got potatoes that are, or taters as we say, that are about a foot tall. If you're wondering, when you're listening to this, where are y'all at in the garden? We haven't planted anything else, but maybe this week we'll plant corn and snap beans. And it's funny, the scripture that I was reading this morning is the parable of the growing seed. It's in Mark 4, verse 29. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put in the sickle, because the harvest has come. There's a lot more that goes with that, and I challenge you to read it. But I wanted to touch on that verse 29. We're talking about canning tomatoes, and we're talking about putting up green beans. That's what he's talking about when he's saying, put forth the sickle. You have to know when the right time for the harvest is. And when it is time, you've got to put forth the sickle immediately. That's what the Bible says. And snap beans, if you don't do it, the snap beans will get stringy, and it'll be like eating cotton. And sweet corn, if you don't do it at the right time, it gets hard and it'll be like chewing up grits. There's a right time to hit it, and it, whatever the crop is. Watermelons, if you get it too early, they won't be sweet. Get it too late, they'll be rotten. Knowing when it's the time. I'm going to tell y'all about a night I had a week ago. I was asleep. I was totally asleep. And I've got some props around me tonight. I hope they're going to work. But I'm laying there asleep, and I hear dead sleep. We're talking about snoring sleep. I hear, and I jump up immediately. I'm up. Somebody knocks on your door late at night when you're asleep. You get up. I looked over at Hank, my trusty companion animal there, and he was snoring. He was out. He heard nothing. So I said, what in the world? That's kind of strange. I didn't see anything. Went, lay back down, eased off to sleep, and it was 3:30 in the morning the next time, because the next time it sounded like that. First knock was, we have a wood door. We have a wood door at the front of our house, and the first knock was, I know it came off the front door. We have a metal door on the back of our house, and the second one, I heard a metal knock. I jumped up again, Hank still asleep. He heard nothing. I check everything. Nothing. There's nothing there, right? And I said, God, what is it? I get it. Took you twice. What is it? He said, you've got to be ready to answer the door. You've got to know when the harvest is. You've got to be ready to do it. If you miss it, you're going to miss everything. And in my life right now, I've told y'all I haven't hit it. I've worked for the state 30 years, and I can retire, but I don't feel like the Lord wanted me to retire, but I didn't know what he wanted me to do. And it's like that night, he told me what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to ride it out for a little bit longer. I don't know why, but he knocked, and I'm listening, and somebody'd say, well, maybe that's opportunity knocking at the door. Well, either way, I'm sure it's an opportunity if God's got anything to do with it. But we've got to be ready. for the harvest. We can't say, well, we're going to put up that stuff. We've got to be ready to pick up the hose and go through the field and get the weeds out. Me and Jefferson, Michael and Keith were working on trying to figure out how to irrigate the garden. I've had a bright idea of moving it away from the pond where we have a pump at the pond, so we'll irrigate it. But now we've moved it up on the hill where we have no irrigation, but we're going to figure it out. But we have to put forth that effort. But at the same time, when it's time for the harvest, we've got to jump on it. It don't say wait till the next day, wait till it feels good. It says put forth the sickle and go after it.
And when we talk about the way in which we think about this stuff, it's amazing how the parallels come. When David's talking about the sound of the knock, I remember being 6, 7, probably, and the tobacco picker broke down by the water hole. And I remember Grandpa walking up under it to work on it. Well, back then, it wasn't like it is today with these new tractors where you got to call somebody with a degree almost to work on it.
Yeah, a technician.
A technician with a computer and the right software. The biggest thing you had to have was the tool and some mechanical ability. And we found out that Grandpa and Uncle Terry, they had the mechanical ability. And they kept most of the tractors and tobacco picker and combine, whatever they were using, they kept it running. And I remember Grandpa walking up under that thing, and he caught his head on that tubing that held the rat, and I heard that knock. And Grandpa kind of shook it off. He didn't say a whole lot. It took him a while, and he got back to working.
He would say it's mean.
Yeah,
mean.
Several years later, I'm at school at Georgia Southern, and I walked down the hall, and I did something stupid. I walked up a ramp under a steel door jam, and I caught that door jam right about the same place Grandpa caught that tubing. And I had seen stars on the cartoons and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I'd never had that happen. I mean, I fractured my skull, went and had surgery, all that stuff. But when you catch something in the middle of your forehead and everything starts going black and you see spots and you don't fall down, it gets your attention. And the first thing I thought about was Grandpa. That was the first thought that ran through my head, that sound I heard. And I don't know why, but I looked around to make sure nobody saw me. But I also thought about, hey, I didn't say anything I shouldn't have. I didn't put down my faith because of my circumstances. And I think about how, you know, like David says, he moved the garden up on the hill away from the water. We've got to look for other sources for that water.
Well, one of the things that, if we go back to what David was saying about the harvest, we can't be blind to when that harvest is coming. We can't overthink it, overlook it. You got to be prepared. And being prepared is not just preparing ourselves. We have to prepare our families. We have to prepare our communities.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes back to what we were talking about before the show started. So it's, don't miss it. Mm-mm. The harvest is coming, and it's coming a lot sooner than what a lot of folks really think it is. But how can we prepare others more than what we're doing now?
Well, first and foremost, we have to be prepared ourselves. And and how do we make sure that we are prepared? I ask because I know you
have the answer.
Well, I mean, it goes back to that verse.
Right.
That scripture, this always coming to me. And that's Ephesians 6. I mean, if you go in and read, 9 through or 10 through 18 or 19, it tells you how to put on your armor.
Right.
But you also have a weapon.
Yeah.
And that weapon is the Holy Spirit.
That's right. We can't discount it. And that's one of the things I think, you know, when we're talking about harvest and we're talking about planting, we could have looked at Grandpa, and we probably thought a lot of times how simple he was. But then when you look back now and look at him, and I know David understands this even more than the rest of us do, he wasn't just preparing for one harvest. He was preparing for multiple harvests throughout the year. There were times when he was planting and reaping another harvest at the same time because he was prepared. And that's where, when we start looking at Ephesians and we start looking at the whole armor, there's even today in our modern military, there's certain parts of armament that are more important than others.
It goes a lot deeper than just Ephesians.
Right.
There's scripture all throughout the Bible that directs you to look for the Spirit inside of you. Do not let him get covered up. He's your number one weapon. And, you know, and there's demons out there.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we get rid of them? You know, are we prepared to help other people get rid of those demons? I mean, deliverance.
Right. Well, it's scriptural, you know, and it was it's amazing to me to look at the scripture and see how Christ walked. He taught. The majority of his ministry was 3 years.
Yeah.
You see, 3 years he walked and talked and showed the disciples how to work, how to plant, how to harvest. He walked and talked, and he told parables about planting and reaping. But he also walked and dealt with Satan 40 days. You know, he dealt with Satan coming after him. And too many times we try to simplify things to the point that we remove things out of situations. And what we're seeing is that we're being attacked. And a lot of times when it's coming, we're overlooking the source. We're saying it's everything else. But, you know, and so, you know, I told Jeffers this morning, I said, I hate to pick on you, but I like to pick on you because you've got so much that I'm looking at and I'm going, this is a good example.
You make a big target,
Jeff. I do make a big target. But
I'd say thank you.
Well, I think he's the smallest of the four of us now, and that's...
But
he's a big target.
I mean, I think he's a little bit.
But in that, his circumstances have been less than ideal.
Yeah, to say the least.
But he said, hey, I know how to handle, I know what I got to do. And this all started with us four gathering around up there by the corn bin and saying, we're going to pray about this.
That's right.
We're going to hit it at the source. We're going to come against what's on the attack. And that's where, one, that was born out of planting some seeds.
Yeah.
That's David's scripture. Two, the love that we have for one another as brothers, when you look in Corinthians.
Yeah.
And then three, Michael over in Ephesians, where we're looking at putting on the armor because we're in a fight.
Definitely.
The recipient just happened to be, in this instance, Jeffers. Now, like he said, he was reading the scripture in Corinthians this morning, but he's probably holding on to several other scriptures through this phase of his life. And so, you know, as I think about, that was our grandma. She could probably pull up a scripture for any event. I know that our aunts, our mamas, Julie's daddy, you know, the boys, they came to Grandma and Grandpa through the years. And it seemed like later, whenever we were, you know, older, Grandpa had stuff to say to us. He'd look back and preach at us a little. Why? Because I think he got, you know, through his life, he started seeing, hey, there's more to it than me just doing this. He'd get up in church and he'd tap his hand on that pew. His voice would be breaking, cracking. But it all goes back to this scripture, and that's how we prepare. Not just these scriptures, these three that we brought up right here, but knowing, reading the word. It says it's living. It is living in the sense that it meets your needs when you have the needs. It's not changing from one thing to another, but it's meeting your needs. So it's living, and that's encouraging to me.
It is encouraging, and it teaches us. You know, it's just like the to put it back in the garden perspective, I don't know everything there is to know about the garden. I look up to David for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he says this is when we need to do this, and that's when we do it.
Yeah.
Just from his experience and knowledge of knowing. So if you don't know, and me not knowing every scripture and not knowing where to go to find everything, I mean, these phones make it easier to look up stuff now as a reference guide, but you have to have your mind and your heart open. Mm-hmm. And be willing to receive what it's telling you to do. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and that's that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's part of that armament,
right?
But it's also, like Jeffers is saying, it's our guide. It draws us. It puts us in the places we're supposed to be, and that's encouraging.
Sure it is.
That strengthens us. That gives us the ability to handle these situations, that be in the right place at the right time, but equipped to be on the offensive, to come against these things that are attacking us, these spiritual, dark spiritual attacks. You know, health, family, friendships, work. It doesn't take long to start looking at things and seeing how things are different because of the stances we take. David's got 30 years with the state, and it ain't all been roses and you know.
Yeah, and that's kind of weird. This popped in that when we talked about walking the fields, we mm-hmm. talked about reaching out and checking on one another. There was a few people that was on my mind and on my heart at that time, and one of them I reached out to, and it had been years. We talked for an hour and a half, and it was like we hadn't been apart, I guess. He died a couple of days ago, and I talked to him just last week before he went into the hospital. He was 8 years older than me. He's 58 years old. Had I not done what I felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, I wouldn't have ever got to check on him again. And so I know that came from God. He wanted somebody to reach out to him. And I'm so glad for myself, because I would be upset if I didn't do it, and I did do it. But yeah, we lost him 2 days ago. And he worked with me and Jeffers for several years. He worked up to a supervisor over in Southwest Georgia for a while. So, got to keep continuing to walk the fields. Got to keep continuing to check on one another. And sowing seed.
And that goes back to Michael's point of the harvest, of knowing.
Listening to the Spirit.
Yeah.
And he will guide us.
Yeah, he'll knock on the door. For those of you not that maybe missed it, it was the Holy Spirit that was knocking at the door at the house.
That's right.
He knocked on the front door and the back door. And I had to answer because I was scared he's coming in the window next. But truth is, I let him in. He's welcome in the house anytime. But he uses that sometimes to get our attention when he really wants us to hear what he's saying.
Well, I mean, if you go to Romans 8, it's full of Spirit proofs. And, you know, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It gives you this, it gives you proof that each one of us have a Spirit inside of us that will guide us. Mm-hmm. And if you shoot on down to 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So, I mean, if he doesn't believe the Spirit, he's not of Christ.
Yeah.
If you're chasing after the wrong spirits, be careful. There's more to it. It hurts me to know that certain people choose not to follow the Spirit. Religions
mm-hmm.
choose not to follow the Holy Spirit. When the same Bible that we all use tells us these things.
Yeah.
And I really hope this gets out to more than just our family. I know that's funny too. Buddy of mine from Douglas contacted me this week and asked how we were doing and was asking about different folks in the family. And I said, yeah, well, we're doing a podcast now. He said, really? He said, I'm into podcasts. I ride around all day, ain't got nothing to do. Let me hear it. And he's listened in 2 days. He had listened to every one of them except for maybe 2. But it was another way to connect.
So we're up to 16 fans.
Yeah, that's what he said. And that's for old Mike Mercer. He's our 16th fan. And as David says, if we didn't lose somebody on the way.
Yeah, it's only if we haven't lost anybody along the way.
He may get a badge for that if he's ran up. Just in all of them.
Yeah, but he did it in 2 days.
But how would you prove it?
Yeah.
Can you prove that? Keith, is there a way to prove if somebody says I've listened to all of them, can we go back and check the record?
Well, we just have them on the podcast.
I scared everybody at my mama's. We had my daddy's birthday party last night, and they were talking about our podcast. And I said, well, we know who listens. And it got quiet. You should have seen their faces. I said, y'all, I'm just kidding. We don't know if you listen to it or not. But they started laughing. They hadn't listened.
We know some demographics. We know age groups and yeah. that they're in the U.S. We don't have any international listeners yet.
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 Yeah, we do.
Nope.
There is an international listener on there.
Yeah?
Well, we apologize.
To on you. The yeah. Our Journey.
That's right.
Facebook.
Mr. or Miss International.
But see out there. Looking back at what I think for anybody that's picking this one up, our background, Michael, David, me, Jeffers, we have very differing backgrounds. We look at things. And the scripture that Michael just read about us not taking offense, we communicate weekly. A lot of times we communicate daily. A lot of times, we're poking at one another.
Sure.
And
mostly at me, but
well, I'm glad I got another punching bag to join me. But about that, when it comes to the things, when we start talking about the scripture and we start poking at one another about the scripture, we're doing it to strengthen each other. We're doing it to sharpen one another. We're doing it to prepare one another for the harvest. David prepares us for the physical garden harvest. Michael challenges me on, a weekly basis on things, and it winds up usually working back into the message or the church because, and a lot of times he's not doing it for that reason. The Holy Spirit's using him to do it because he's willing. But I don't take it as Michael's questioning my ability. I don't take it as David's questioning my intelligence. It's nothing personal. We understand that we're helping one another. And then Jeffers shows up and he has an input into it. And what we're seeing is that through all of this, God's using us to accomplish things that any one of us alone couldn't accomplish by ourselves.
Right.
That's right.
We know that if a text goes out, if it's important between us four, we start seeing answers.
Yeah.
We got texts that go around that don't get answered. They're not, but we understand that about one another.
That is the silent whatever.
That's, yes. That's what we call that around the farm.
Yeah.
When you send out a text and it gets no response.
Well, you also got to understand.
At some point, that's a silent whatever. That means it's even worse than getting a whatever.
Right.
You wasn't even worth the whatever. That
this is something goes back years and years.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is we want to include other people in this. That's why we're talking about stuff like this on these podcasts. We want other people to be involved. We're not saying you need to be involved in our church. We're not trying to proselytize and bring people into the church through this. What we're saying is we're available outside of this building.
That's right.
If it's up there at the farm, if you feel comfortable showing up to the farm and you can stand the stench of the hogs, or you're willing to pick up a hoe and walk mm-hmm. through the, come on.
Yeah.
David will put you to work.
Amen.
Our cousin, Thomas Curtis Bowen, is coming to see us this week.
Yeah.
That's Bubba. That's Bubba for y'all that didn't know his real name.
A.K.A. Bubba. I can remember the age when Bubba was explaining to me that Bubba was not his name. And that was hard. That was hard for me to understand. that was his name.
Yeah.
It is still his name to me.
Yeah.
Bubba. He said, no, that's not my real name. It's like, what? What do you mean? We was probably 18.
Wow.
But he's coming all the way from Missouri. Or Misery, whichever you like to pronounce it. And that's exciting. Yeah. Somebody to come home for a little while
that we hadn't seen.
You want to talk a little bit about the meeting that you went to this week?
I was contacted as a pastor to go to a meeting the chaplain for the sheriff's department and the sheriff asked to have with ministers, with people of faith. I'll go ahead and say that because the topic that was covered needs a lot of people of faith. And I got there and we were told that there were 26 churches represented. And the way I look at that is, if it takes a sheriff calling a meeting that a lot of people don't agree with, but 26 churches show up with the representatives,
there's something to that.
God's doing something. It ain't man.
That's right.
So the reason was because it was brought to the chaplain's attention the problem that's going on with the drugs in our county, and the main one is fentanyl, which is 3 or either 4 grains the size of sand grains is enough to kill. Well, in our county last year, there was enough seas that would kill the population of Pierce County in its entirety 2.5 times. Wipe it out.
Well, what gets me is how divided the church has been in this county for the years.
Yes.
And
that's really hitting. I mean, that's missing the mark, right? I mean, when churches, which are supposed to be following Jesus Christ, and our God is love, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what.
And our God's coming back for one bride.
Right.
And when our churches, the leadership and the churches in the community can't not get together and check on one another and love on one another, man, that really.
It burns me up.
Yeah. This is going to take a drastic turn.
But I'm not
right on with it. And I said, when we started this, y'all got me political for a hair, okay? President of Mexico this week said that it's not a drug problem in the United States. It's a hugging problem. We don't hug one another enough. Now, man's got a point. Now, I agree with that. I agree with we don't love one another enough. I'm all about it. But he's wrong in the fact that he's going to sit over there across his border with all his people flooding over here, right? And he's going to protect his cartels by saying, we don't have a drug problem in Mexico. That's right, because they cut your head off in Mexico, right?
Mm-hmm.
Big difference, buddy.
Yeah.
Big difference.
And Russia streamlines it, too.
I'm through with the politics.
But the main point behind the meeting was to say, hey, let's pray. We need prayer for these deputies. We need prayer for the families that are being affected by the drug problem that we have here. And if the sheriff says, hey, let's get as many as we can together and start praying about this, then I'll be involved in it.
I still want to go back to the churches and finally getting together.
And that, if it comes from this, I pray that these churches, there's going to be more. I can tell you this right now in Pierce County, if I'm not mistaken, there are over 60 churches with physical addresses in Pierce County. 60 churches. And if there are over 60 churches in Pierce County, I stated it this morning, that the fostering problem that we have in the U.S. right now, if a statistic that was given, if every church in America had one family that said, we'll foster.
How many churches are in America?
I don't know.
There's 500,000 foster children right now in the United States. 500,000 children that don't stay with their mom and daddy at night.
Yeah. But that thought, even if it's not every church, there's churches with 10,000 members.
Right.
Right. We only have about 40. If we all come together and we got all the kids and everybody comes in, we might have 40 here. But to think, if the church gets behind something, what can God do? God's waiting on us to do it.
It's clearly in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's not even a choice for a church that follows Jesus Christ.
That's it.
It's not. In the Bible it says we have to take care of widows and orphans.
Yes.
It says it. I mean, that's not even
an option.
The theologians cannot debate that.
No.
If they do, they're not following the Holy Bible.
Right.
Well, and like you were saying, it's a breakdown in the church and not the government.
Right.
It's not the government's problem.
Yeah.
It's the church's problem. And we're, as in the churches, are so divided that we can't.
That's because we don't put what's supposed to be first, right?
Right.
But they were testing Jesus. They were picking at Jesus. They wanted to know what's the first commandment, right? And he said, well, listen. He said, hey, it's like, I could see him right now. He's like, Hey, listen now, because he said, oh, Israel, is what he said. Listen. So he's telling all of us. He said, hey, pay attention. Here it is. You got one Lord. You got one God. You're to follow him. You're to love him with everything you got. He is your first and only. Others are second. Yourself is third.
Yeah.
And if our church, you know, people say, well, now I got to put my church. I got to put my church people before these other
people.
It's
not scriptural.
Nah, that's right.
That ain't scriptural.
Because if we put God first,
right,
everything else takes its place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you got God first, you will not neglect your wife. Right?
Right.
If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, everything else will fall in order.
And that's here's my real world scenario. If I came to these three sitting right here and I said, I've done this, or I this is my problem. The first thing they're going to look at me and say is, you knew better. I've got a drug problem. I'm doing this. If I were to come and say, hey, I've been unfaithful to my wife. They're going to grab me by the ear and they're going to say, what were you thinking? That's the first thing they're going to say. And I expect them to. And for anyone in here, we would do that for the other. The second thing they're going to do is probably pull out the scripture and say, hey, here's what the scripture says about that.
It has been done.
I'll
just put that in there.
Yeah. Here's what the scripture says about it. Here's the remedy that the scripture gives for it. Well, that's the problem we have in the church today, is that the church isn't doing that right there. There's no, the accountability to what the scripture says isn't being held.
No, they try to explain it away.
And so then, what we look at is looking outside of the church, outside of our families, at the world around us, and going, well, I wonder why it's like that. You know, and so going back to this meeting, they're bringing church back into the jail. There's opportunities for you to go minister. Now, here's the deal. It ain't like it used to be. It ain't going to be, we bring them all together, and you got to go into the cell. You got to be prayed up with that whole armor.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be that, and.
But he'll be with you. The Holy Spirit's with you. He was with.
There was another in
the lion's den.
There was another in the fire.
Right.
That's right.
Right. You know, Paul and Silas were in the jail when it started shaking.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get to the scripture, we need to take it at its worth, its value, to what it means for me, what it means for you, and put it into practice. Because when we begin to do that, then our value becomes evident in what God's wanting to do for us. Otherwise, you don't have value. You don't have a value to just sit back and say, well, I'm going to work a job. I'm going to have fun. That's why we have broken homes, broken families, because people have sat back and thought that their value was in how much money they make.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they do for a living, how much schooling they got. And what God's saying is your value's in me. If you'll go and you'll chase after that, I'll show you what value is.
That's right.
That's right.
I'll show you what worth is.
For sure.
And when we start getting people to a place where they begin to see their worth, guess what? We're not going to have a drug problem.
No.
We're not going to have a problem where there are 500,000 foster care children in the U.S.
Right. So whoever goes into the jails, into the prisons, they gotta take love.
Yeah,
it's got to be love. There's no message that's gonna reach them, right?
Mm-mm.
I mean, they've heard all the messages,
and half of them are or more.
It's love.
Would be, have been done wrong by a church.
Sure.
Oh, absolutely. So, sure.
I mean,
probably be the first thing they tell you.
Right.
A lot of them are brought up. A lot of them that we know that's in that jail were brought up in churches.
That's true. Very true. That's true.
And so
they need to be loved.
Whatever you take from this discussion we've had here, know that where we're coming from is not a church theological epiphany that we've had on this topic. It's real life. We're seeing it. We understand that there's a problem in the church, first off, and in the world around us. If we start solving the problems in the church,
the rest of the problems will go away.
The problems around us are going to start going away. It ain't going to start with the mayor of Blackshear. It ain't going to start with the city council, the county commission, the county commissioner, the sheriff.
I don't know. He's done a pretty good
job. Well, I mean, but it didn't. The thing is, it's already started, and that's the thing we need to recognize today and tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's already started. You just look around.
Yeah.
If you're waiting on it to start, then you need to hit your knees and pray about it, because it's already started.
And that's where...
And, you know, you can go ahead and join the team and get on board.
Right.
And start doing something. Walk the fields.
Yeah.
Walk the field.
Walk the field.
For sure. I heard that terminology used in a message being given on a symposium that I was listening to this week. And the guy talking about it, he was talking about bringing back grasslands and habitat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what he was talking about over in Scotland, but the difference with those deer in Scotland and then up in, I think, Norway, the same red deer, the ones in Scotland are tiny. The ones in Norway are big. Well, Norway has the forest. Scotland doesn't. But what's happened is the population has gotten to the point to where those deer eat off the trees before they can grow up. But what they found out was if they can keep the deer out of that land for a short, say 5 years, 7 years, those trees begin to grow up past the point of those deer being able to destroy and eat them. And then they can get the forest. Well, when they get the forest, and he said, the only way you're going to know what you're dealing with is to walk the fields.
All right.
And that goes back to David's illustration of walking the fields. We got to know how to walk the fields. And then when we walk the fields, we've got to be prepared for whatever comes up.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You gotta be prepared. You gotta be ready to go.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, just still on vacation.
And you
It's like when I say, hey, are you gonna pick sweet corn next week? And man, we got a condo down at Fernandina. They're gonna be out of town next week. Okay.
Seemed like somebody mentioned that.
Yeah. You get no corn. So they asked me, when do you think you'll be picking sweet corn? Obviously, the 4th of July, when half the people's out of town and the other half are in town for a big party. And they can eat sweet corn, I guess. We're going to plant about an acre of it, looks like. That's a lot.
Well, then I'm going to be praying that it ain't 2 weeks later when my whole family is going over to Gulf Shores.
See? There you go.
Mm-hmm. So I need to pray that it's ready for July. And hey, guess what? If God sees that I need the sweet corn, maybe he'll provide the rain. And
we could send a hurricane. So
hey, if he sends the rain to take care of the garden, then we ain't got to depend on the...
Hey, wait a minute now.
We got irrigation.
We getting irrigation.
But
like I said, that's
we
doing
will
our
be
part.
Prepared.
That's doing our part. But if he provides it,
Amen.
It's even better. Mm-hmm. He provides a little lightning for the nitrogen.
Without a doubt, that's better.
Yeah. So be prepared. Put on your whole armor. Be ready to love people.
No, go ahead and start loving. Showing the love and attitude.
Be ready. Do it.
But what I'm saying is be ready.
Be ready.
Loving those people that you don't necessarily want.
I love them. Yeah, put others first.
Yeah.
God first, others second.
Yeah. And you third.
And
those
last.
People will not take God's joy away from you.
It doesn't say your kids are second.
No.
It don't say your kids are first. Well, that, man, that's ugly. You can't say that today.
Nah.
Kids, it don't say that. It says God first.
God.
Others second. Self. Yeah. Last.
You know, and going back to the jail thing, if we've got time.
We don't.
Some's
going to wind up here.
Okay. And your scenario about the deer and stuff. You know, the first thing that pops into most folks' heads probably is being overwhelmed about going into the jail. And, you know, how am I going to reach all these people? You only have to reach one.
That's it.
And it will spread in that jail.
Yeah.
Like wildfire. If you can get one believing and feeling, you know, feeling God, and he's going to take that back in that jail when you're gone, and he's going to start spreading. So once he...
You get that Holy Spirit moving in that place.
That's right.
And they won't be able to stop it.
Right.
No.
You get one person fired up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it will. It'll take on.
I mean, that's all they've got all day is just...
Yeah. Captive audience.
Yeah. Well, David's doing the countdown. We've been over here an hour.
Okay.
But be in prayer for one another. Be in prayer for your wherever you're at, your community. And start seeing where you fit into God's picture and his plan for where you're at. Don't try to look elsewhere. Don't try to figure out what you can do somewhere else. Right where you're at, begin to make a difference. That's what we're trying to do right here in Pierce County, on this side of town. We're not, you know, we're concerned with right here, right now. And what we're seeing is God showing us different ways in which he's got for us to do this. Let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it ministers to each of us and how you are speaking to us, but how it all comes together. We're one body. I just pray for unity in our county, in the churches. I pray right now that we would be your church. We wouldn't be divided. That we would begin to draw together and work together to see your kingdom here on earth on display, that we would speak into these situations that are being overrun with darkness, the drug problem, the family problems, and we'd begin to speak into them life through love, that we can give freely because you gave it freely to us. It's not ours to hold on to. We just ask you to be with us as we go out this week to speak, to minister to others around us, to put you first in every situation. And we just thank you for all that you're doing in us and through us. In your son's name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.